and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for Life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Welcome to the opening day edition of Racing Across America. Brian Natto with you. Anthony Mormino with me as well, my good longtime friend. And opening day here at Saratoga. It's exciting to be front and center. We just did the handicappers report on what looks to be a tremendous weather-wise opening day, which is exciting because we haven't been able to say that the last 4 or 5 days up here. We don't know the track or turf condition. We are off the turf in race four. We move to the Mellon in race six, and that's a decent enough segue, Anthony, because you and I are going to, as long as they keep asking us to come back every Thursday, we're going to host
this
a show on Thursday. Yeah, this is it, and we're going to incorporate a little handicapping in this, because I think, you know, that's what you and I, at the end of the day, we do. So we're going to have some fun with this segment. We're going to try to get a handicap or two on throughout the course of the meet as well. And I'm a big pick five player, as I think a lot of people know. You are a trifecta player, as I think a lot of people know. And we'll get into that later. And that's going to be a weekly discussion. It's going to be, we're going to have tickets and construction and things like that. But I hope, as we talked yesterday off the air, obviously, it could make for good TV, too, because you are admittedly out of your element with the pick five, and I am very admittedly out of my element with the trifecta. So hopefully we can explain to each other, we can explain to you, the viewers, that maybe are looking for more than a little more in-depth than just, you know, hey, I like seven horses here with two horses here with, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that is good for me with the pick five is that I feel so much like a novice, like many people who watch horse racing during Saratoga and don't buy the Daily Racing Form every day for 41 years straight. And it's a learning curve, which I'm very happy to take on. I think I was in a polite way yesterday on the phone, almost called pig-headed, but he wouldn't go there. But I felt when I hung up the phone, that's what he was strongly insinuating. So I'm happy to learn. Like, I mean, it's one of my favorite things. You know, I've tried to raise our son in many ways, and one of the things I tell him is, please make sure you learn at least three things new every day. I mean, don't wake up if you're planning on being the same bank of knowledge today as you had yesterday. So we're going to learn a little, and I've tried to bring in, you know, some data, which always helps me to say, like, I know that I don't know, and I'm trying not to be pig-headed, but I think there's a way to, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat, which almost all of us believe at the racetrack, but apparently there's only one way to play the pick five, which I'm only kidding about. But we're going to get into that, and we think it's going to be a lot of fun. One of the things when we knew we were going to be this, it's like, usually we're somewhere together around the Breeders' Cup. You know, we see people when you're at the places, and literally after 2 minutes of how are you, everything, it's like betting.
Who do you like?
Who do you got this weekend? Who do you most like? And it just goes from there, which is great, which is why I started going to the track every
Without
day I could.
Doubt. And the other thing we're going to do a lot of, and we kind of get hit a little bit today because two of our race replays have scratched out. That's just the nature of the beast up here with weather and all that. But one thing Anthony and I do meet right in the middle on is race replays and video watching and trip notes and things like that. So we're going to incorporate that into the Thursday program as well, because I do feel, and I think you would agree, in a day and age where, you know, everything is right here in front of you, whether it's on your iPad, whether it's the sheets, whether it's your PPs, everybody's got it in front of them. Everybody knows everything. And I think the race replays is one of the very, very few, if not, because you have to do the work.
Right.
You have to put the work in.
There's no way you can truncate it. It's roll up your sleeves. And at the end of the day, it's subjective. Well, you know, thankfully for me, the one we got left with would have been the one I would have said, this is the one I most want.
Yeah.
But it's also the most subjective, and you'd be like, I don't know. But I always say this when I do the handicappers ones, you're allowed to ask more questions as the price is bigger.
For sure.
And I have some questions, but the horse is 20-1 in the morning line.
Yes.
I don't project a way that it's going to be 7-1 in the wagering. So I'm like, yes, of course there's questions on a 20-1 shot. They wouldn't be 20-1
right
if there weren't. And what I have found, you know, and I've said this before, is there has never been a public handicapper that probably picked more horses run last, probably have this one of the lowest win percentage, whatever that's worth, which I'm going to have to prove on Saturdays, I guess. But you know what I tell people? I picked races every day in the public, wagering about $60 for Channel 13 back in the day. And after every day for, I think it was 6 or 7 years, I think our return on investment was over 300.
Well, it only takes one.
Yes.
And what he's alluding to is at the end of the day, it's your ROI is the only thing that matters.
I tell people this all the time. And, you know, the great fans up here, they'll go, how many winners did you have yesterday? And you understand that conversation. But when you see buddies that you know or follow the races, how'd you take? Well, up 800. Nobody goes 1-for-9.
Right.
You'd be like, because that doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't matter.
So and I've told this story before. Many years ago, I was 0 for the meet. That's not hyperbole, 0 for the meet. And score a birdie got me back somewhere between 60 and 70% of all my losses in one race. I saw Herb McCauley 2 years ago in the 1863 thing, and I just yelled out, score a birdie. He pivoted, turned around, and smiled because he knew. Score a birdie won the forego at a big price and got me out. That's what it takes, and that's how I viewed the game. And
all that matters.
One of the things I've learned was you have to be willing to go 0 for it. I became comfortable in my skin with the 0 for, even on public display, because I believed. And now in this pick five, there's like I have to climb a new hurdle. That's where I'm going to be like a lot of people out there and be like, I don't agree. I know you guys play it every day. I'm like, I think I can turn.
This didn't dawn on me until just now as you're talking. And as I mentioned, I think as people know, I put together a group every year and we fire. And
Jesse, let's bring this up again.
Last year.
Never invited in to the group.
We haven't run a race yet this year.
I have vaguely been invited to drive these people.
We do need drivers.
They need drivers. I can't hang out with them at the track, but I've been invited that maybe a slot to drive
them. My friends
them.
Love you. We've always
I love all your
Breeders'
friends.
Cups and,
but it
and
seems
things
to be like
that.
It's like the old line, Bette Midler with Barbara Streisand, easy to love from afar. They seem to love you, but they don't want me to get too close to the circle.
We started, I think, with like 14K last year, and on closing day, we were out of it was all in, but the tip basically for the bill, and we hit the pick six for 20. My buddy AJ got a free dinner out of it with Tom Bush winning the finale at like nines or so, and it all came back. So there you go. That's how my partner
and what's funny
said,
is
and that's it. Only takes one.
What's
and
funny
that's,
is I think that is the normal, well-worn path. I don't see that as the road not taken. To me, that is like that's how the game
picking winners
is played.
Great,
it's like, you know, down X.
Yeah.
Keep building the down X.
Picking winners is great,
and
but
then,
you know, those $4.20 winners aren't going to pad your bankroll, and you need something. So, you know, we're going to talk about that, and we'll get to the – we've got – Anthony's got some try plays that he's put together.
I love.
I've got some pick fives. Quickly, we want to do just a brief meet preview as well, too, because it's exciting. We've got video. Bri will bring it up here. Maxfield's going to run in the Whitney. Nick's Go is supposed to be here. We'll show video now of Maxfield just blitzing the Stephen Foster.
Best career performance?
Yeah, agree. You know, Maxfield's been, I saw he was ranked number one this week, and I guess it's the NTRA poll. I don't vote him number one. I still think he's got to win a significant race to do that. And he's going to have to win the Whitney. He's going to have to run the race of his life because Nick's Go will be here, but he looked awesome winning the Stephen Foster. So we've got that. Do we have that video, Bri? Oh, there we go. Thank you.
Yes. We're working on a delay. Maxfield is not working on a delay.
Yeah, the Godolphin colors here.
Shadow roll, just middle of the racetrack. He's already taken the race by the throat latch. Now, what I liked about this race for him was I didn't think he was in great shape on the backstretch.
Yeah.
Well, but he dominated the turn that indicated to me. I love horses in root dirt races that dominate on the second turn. And that's where, in my opinion, that's where he won the race. This was just the procession to the finish line. But his move on the backstretch, and one of the things I like to tell people is, and certainly once you've watched enough races, is when you're watching it live, like, you know, I pick out horses, they're in a good position to win from here. I thought he was kind of like not in a good position to win. And when he goes and does it the way he did, I'm like, well, that was pretty good. And then you rewatch, you realize how dominant he was on the turn. And I thought he was the horse people have talked about since he was a juvenile.
And he's done that before, and so it'll be exciting to see him. And obviously, we have to talk about the Travers. It's what we build to up here at Saratoga. Now, there's a lot of questions still to be answered Saturday at Monmouth Park in the Haskell, which came up very, very tough. But we'll show the stretch run of the Belmont here with You Should Not Lose When You Run This Good, Hot Rod Charlie, getting run down by Essential Quality. Now, Hot Rod Charlie shows up in the Haskell.
Ground down, maybe that's a better way.
Oh, man, what a brutal second. He ran huge. He runs in the Haskell Saturday, but Doug O'Neill, he's a guy that runs his horses, and the Travers is circled. Brad Cox, we think, is going to run Essential Quality in the Jim Dandy. He's got the Travers as the goal. These up-and-coming three-year-olds now. We'll see one at Monmouth on Saturday that Todd Pletcher took over from Bob Baffert. That's got a big chance in the Haskell. But here's an awesome stretch run in the Belmont, and we'd like to think we'll get this right back in the Travers, the Midsummer Derby, the centerpiece. I hate talking about it on opening day, but it's the elephant in the room. You have to
always
talk about it when
always
you're
always at Saratoga. We know many fans tune in today, and they, you know, the horse racing comes front and center. And I, you know, I know I said he ground him down, but I mean it in a pejorative sense.
Sure.
But this I meant in a professional sense. Like, he was able to, within his talent, get to him, but the stretch run was far better than I thought it was going to be at the 5/16.
Well, I think that's what the people, myself included, who bet heavily on Hot Rod Charlie are like, couldn't you just run third, beating nine? Because that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
The other horse hasn't finished yet.
No, he's
my goodness.
He's
fraud from California.
Hose down now, right about now.
Oh, boy. So that is exciting, and it's that day with six grade ones, and it's a grade one Saturday every Saturday at Saratoga, but six of them that day. Before we get to the break, a couple things we've got to know.
The other reason we love the sport.
Yeah, we had equally seismic passings. Human and equine in the last, I guess it's probably been about 10 days now. We lost Harvey Pack, who had as full and rich a life as anyone, 94, I believe. And
sounds right.
Harvey was a little before my time, but my first year in Saratoga when I was an intern up at the press box, Harvey hung out there. Great picture, Bri. Thank you. That's what we were looking for. And Harvey was up there retired every day when I was up there with Jason Blue and Eric Donovan. There's a little cubby in the back of the press box. And back in the day, that's where the Naira people hung out that were in the press box. And Harvey was there in the chair every day. And who the heck was I? You know, I was a $8 paid intern that nobody knew. And he just took an interest in me and was just great. Oh, hey, how you doing, Brian? And always asked how I was doing. Like, and I just always, you know, you respect those kind of people. I'll throw it to you because you're a little bit older than I am, comfortably older than I am. And so you watched Harvey a lot more. Just talk about what he meant to racing.
A pioneer, right? Yes. He's you know, he pioneered what we do. A couple of things that I'll say, just, you know, almost randomly. In 1986, Sports Channel, what was known as in those days, came to the Capital Region. I called up my cable provider at the time, and I said, whatever it is I have to do or pay so that this channel never comes off my TV is what I want. And we got Thoroughbred action.
You just couldn't get enough of Fran Healy?
Fran Healy's, yeah. Ouch. What I loved about Thoroughbred action was not only the Harvey and the way he moved the show along and the guests he had and the replays. They used to show probable pays. I mean, you don't understand how great this was. And he had guests on that brought so much to the game. And there was a time when it was 45 minutes. They re-show the stretch run in slow motion. He had the bugle at the time. I believe his name was Mark O'Keefe. He hit the pick six. He had him on the show, and he retired from NIAR, went back to New Mexico, which I think he was from, and taught music. But he had him on the show, and he had many people on the show. And almost all, you know, he would have Jack Wilson from the Chart Caller, from the Daily Racing Room, but he had bettors on. And when you were up here in those days, you really had 4 weeks of stuff, and then you just were like a person in the middle of the desert looking for an oasis. And it was fantastic. Now, about Saratoga, there were many components that made this place start to skyrocket in the late 70s. Obviously, Al Yadar and Affirmed, I Love New York campaign. Locally, Harry Downey at WGY. Many, many others that I'm missing. But Harvey Pack and the shows he did, especially the Saturday shows, where he had Andy Beyer for years, then Steve Chris for years, it was standing room only at a place that he can't stand anymore because they've closed it off. But his, you know, energy and that red jacket coming out, he just made fans of the sport. And then his inside racing on Tuesdays with John Embry-Allen, and you'd have Mac Miller on, many people. I mean, it was the best. Now, it's indescribable about how much ahead of the curve and the pioneer he was, but he did it great also. Not only was he the first, he had a horse player's mentality, I believe, but he also knew how to be great on television.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
And that's not always easy to do both of them. And his finish with May the Horse Be With You was outstanding. They'd have the scratches on for the next day at the end of his show. And folks, listen, this wasn't 72-hour entries. There was no internet as far as Al Gore is concerned. And it was fantastic. And I'm going to tell you something. I have been blessed to do much in this business that I have wanted to do and paid. But in my one moment, I got a call. This, I still have the tape, VHS tape. I got a call to do the Ciro's seminar.
I didn't know that.
Yes, and Dave Grenning was going to be the other person on it, but it was Harvey's show over there by then.
Of course.
And I could say that, including asking my wife to marry me, I was never as nervous. See, I had waited for this moment. I mean, this was, you know, this is Harvard summa cum laude to me. And he was so nice. He, you know, he knew what it is I did. So it wasn't like his producer found
sure.
me.
Oh, we got
He's
this guy
like,
more mean.
This is this young guy. You see him on the news. He gives his play of the day, etc. He went through it. And I ended up doing it twice. And I had one good day and one very good day. And the day after the very good day, he put it front and center.
That's awesome.
It's like, I mean, to be on the dais with Dave, who I've known a long time, and with Harvey Pack, that I was going to be one of those guys, is truly, it's one of my favorite moments in the sport. And also, as you said, like, he knew who I was in Upstater. And he always was very illuminating of the Upstaters. like, you know,
sure,
like that.
Which I think is cool too.
Right, for a downstairs.
Because here comes a big guy coming up. Yep. This is my ship here. Get
right,
off of
you know,
it. I think that's pretty cool.
Part-timers, but he's
too.
Like, he was always like, you know, they make this place great.
We yeah. are failing Harvey miserably right now, by the way, at 10:22.
What are we doing?
We'll have to move the ship along as well.
You said we got wiped out in the third segment. We lost.
Before we take our first break, though.
Oh.
As equally seismic as Harvey Pack was, Galileo passed this
as Bolt, past week. Hours before Bull Show Ballet.
And as my partner and I have done, not this show, but have been together, I believe, for 8 years now, and a couple more years probably prior to that when you'd let me pop over with Roger, which I always thought was cool. Thank you. We love the European scene. We loved Galileo. We're going to bring up footage of his otherworldly King George video win as a three-year-old when he just kind of laughed at Fantastic Light in deep stretch. Galileo in the
Navy, about
Navy,
fourth
the Coolmore. There we go.
Fantastic
here.
Fantastic Light to his left.
On
right
the outside with
the
Godolphin.
Blue.
Yep.
The pace setters are in front, and now remember, this is a three-year-old taking on the elders in the summer, and he's now positioned himself very well, but Fantastic Light is looking at him. Now, this is 12 furlongs, which is, it's Galileo right between the eyes, which the Irish champion stakes, when Fantastic Light beat him, didn't. He just splits horses right here, and then
game on.
So second from the right is Fantastic Light, who is trying to make headway. That's just simply not going to work. This is as close as he gets to him right here. And the three-year-old just continues on. And Fantastic Light, who I think was five at the time, you know, just really at this distance. Now, he'd get him at 10 furlongs, but not at 12. And Galileo obviously extends here. At a time when European racing was beginning, you know, we had seen Giants Causeway the year before, pushed Chisnau to the mat. Americans that didn't follow European racing only got to see a Galileo in the Classic. Right. Obviously, that was a breeding move. They didn't realize he'd be worth $300,000 a share as a turf stallion.
So,
but they thought Fantastic Light was going to go in that race also, and Fantastic Light at the last moment went to the turf. And if Galileo had gone in the turf that day, it would have been a race for the
Galileo
ages.
Was a great racehorse. And I don't even know what he was as a stallion, but if great is here, he has tripled that.
Fair to say 40 years from now, based on his sons, they're still... We have stopped talking about Mr. Prospector in the United States 20 years.
Yeah. To put it in perspective...
40 years from now, they're going to still be talking about Galileo.
He's our Stormcat, AP Indy, Mr. Yeah. Prospector.
The greatest,
maybe better.
I've said this before, and I'm a person who's... license plate indicates Seattle Slough's my favorite racehorse. Before Galileo, Seattle Slough to me was the greatest combination of stallion and racehorse record, and Galileo thumped my favorite horse of all time. I tweeted to my good friend, same foaling date or birth date as the great Secretariat, March 30th. But what I really say, and I know it is said in sports by others, I don't think I've ever said it until this moment, we will not see the likes of him again.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. And just, you know, do it.
Great.
Go on Pedigree like, Query or something. Look up his progeny.
You'll get exhausted reading his sons and the sons of his sons now. You almost would think it's a lie. You're just like, this can't be possible. One racehorse, but that was Galileo.
Pretty much every
we lost on
significant
last
one.
Saturday, right?
Yeah, last
Early
Saturday.
Early in the day, hit the newswire.
Yep.
And Bolshoi Ballet. Son of Galileo wins in New York.
Right. For Coolmore and Aidan O'Brien, who, you know, obviously got the majority of them and have done all the heavy lifting. But, yeah, it's a significant loss, especially for the European, you know, those
because
those
conceivably he would have 5 to 7 more years.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that was the 2001 King George, so he was born in 1998. So sad. Harvey, obviously, rest in peace, tremendous guy, and Galileo as well. So, first break here on Racing Across America. When we come back, we're going to show some race replays that we picked out today. We lost a couple because of some key scratches today. We've got three of them to go over. We're kind of going to just chop it up a little bit and show you what we're looking for and what you can kind of try to figure out yourself, because as we mentioned, it's the one last thing that I do feel is that stone unturned. So stay tuned. We'll be back with that shortly.
Welcome to the West. I'm Scott Varley at Saratoga's latest and greatest high-rise luxury condo. Starting in the mid-fives, every condo here has two bedrooms and two baths and upgrades, just like this. Check out these oversized private balconies. We also have a gym, a private lounge, and get this, a heated parking garage. To make a reservation for your private condo at the West, call or text me. I'm Scott Varley at 518-281-6808.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to Racing Across America here. Opening day 2021, the first of 40 here at Saratoga. We can't wait. The weather looks beautiful outside. We hope to see you up here. That's free admission to the vaccinated, right?
Yes, fully vaccinated, get in for free.
Free admission. Get here early, I highly recommend. The people were streaming in already as I rolled in about 8, as I Seth Merrowed it this morning at about 8:53. That's early for Seth, but get here early. There's going to be a lot of people. Saratoga open for business. We are so excited. We're excited to do this as well. We kind of gave you a little intro to what we're going to try to get done here on Thursdays this year, and we did a little bookkeeping as well. But I think the next two segments we can kind of get to the nuts and bolts of it. We've got three replays to show. We had five. We lost a couple with scratches. The first two are yours. And before we get right to it, I mean, I've known you for quite a while now, and I know video watching, race replays, trip notes are pretty high on your agenda. And just let everyone know, because it's easy to pick up the form. Everybody that's watching this show, probably everybody that's, you know, having a beer in the backyard later this afternoon, knows how to read a racing form.
Yes.
We don't need to get up here and tell you how to do that. But I do think if maybe you're looking to get a little more serious, if you're looking to take your game to the next level, if you're looking to do this then more a recreational basis, I feel strongly, and I know you agree, that doing the dirty work and watching replays, which are readily available, Capital OTB, you know, get an account. Another great reason to get an account. They're right there for you. Then you can unearth a lot of things.
I think what really helped me, I mean, going back to 1983, was, you know, Andy Byers' book, Trip Handicapping. You know, it didn't sell as many copies as his Picking Winners, which I think was 8 years earlier. But to me, it was the truth and the light and the way, because of really what Brian just said, is we can all read the racing form. It doesn't, I mean, it's black and white, it's two-dimensional. I mean, in most cases, it's the facts. Now, some areas where it's not, that I have grasped onto and I keep data for, is turf racing and times and with the rails up, and I, you know, there's an angle there, but you have to watch the race to see the rails are up. Trust me, you go to Equibase.com. There's certain days at Belmont, looking at their data, that would indicate they sent a crew of workers out in the middle of the racetrack and took the rails down. Let me know when you see that happen. So besides steeplechase racing on closing day,
sure,
when they used to take it down and finish the day. So you really can't trust that data as much as you should either. Also, just look at INXS's Woodward Stakes. Woodward? No, his Suburban track record that still stands. Look at those fractions and let me know if you want to bet that they're accurate. So you watch the races, and this is all subjective. This is the nature of it. It's the fun
part
for me.
Too,
that's the fun part. That's like I said, no public handicappers, as I said, no public handicappers had more horses run last than me. But I always tell people, they don't make you pay extra when you run last. Mr. Marmito, you owe us 10% surcharge. Your top pick ran last. It's not how it works. So you see things. And I've said before, it's like start running worse, run worse, you're fatigued. I am a big believer in pace and deceleration. And, well, if I don't get tired, I can run faster at the end. I believe in position on the racetrack, real or imaginary. But I have to come up with an opinion, and my opinions can be wackier the higher the price can go, less tangible. You know, and I've said this on the show, you know, the horse is going to have to run three or four lengths better. Well, what leads you to do it? And I've always wondered, this I don't know, Brian. It's probably about an hour. But if you went home and watched the races, you know, let's say each race is 2 minutes and there's 10 races, that's 20 minutes. So you watch it again. My question has always been, how much time do I think the casual person would have to invest? I think it's an hour a day. There's 5 days a week racing. I think 5 hours.
At most.
I think that's the commitment level that breaks a lot of people, apparently. But it's not like that, 7 hours a day,
right,
every day. It's like 5 hours a week. And as you get better, you're going to find it lessens because you see more things.
And that's important, too, because you as you get better, as you get more comfortable, as you find out what you're easily picking up, you watch them, you know, quicker. Six right. furlong dirt sprint where, well, a two-turn route where someone gets ahead by four lengths, you don't have to sit there and study every inch of,
right,
you know what's going down here.
Right.
The other thing, too, I will highly suggest, and I do this.
Head-ons.
Well, head-ons, okay, too, but for when I do this for a different
group,
I like to have the chart pulled
yes.
up.
Oh,
so
yes.
I can look at the chart.
Absolutely.
As I'm seeing, I want to see where, and you'll see this too, and this light bulb will probably go on in 3 minutes. You'll see how not very good the chart callers are. In some venues, we have very, very good chart callers here in Naira, but at some of the lesser tracks, and let's be honest, they like to turn these things around in 12 to 15 minutes. So I get all
which we've
of that.
Talked about. We don't see the value in that.
I don't know. But
the long
you're
term,
going to see that they miss a lot, and you're going to be like, wait, am I looking at the right horse
and
here?
And then somebody,
you are,
has, okay? Somebody has to decide what keywords
goes into
are
the past
meant
performances.
To show up, and that's somebody's opinion, et cetera. And,
so
you know,
we'll queue up the first one here.
This has got to be me from last
yep,
year's opener.
This is the last year opener.
Louis Cardenas leading the lead for a half hour. Or
27,
something.
Well, 33 minutes or 30, so.
And one of the reasons I sent this one in is, I see the race being similar.
Yeah, this is Grit and Glory winning last year's opener.
It's not that exciting here, as, you know, it's at the bottom of the page in here. He's the one. It should be the deuce in here. I apologize for that. Coming up, and I just think we're going to have the Drunken Sailors. See, you got the Drunken Sailors working here with the new inner rail. And then it's just wearing them down in here on the far outside, loose silks here. It's not scintillating. He wins in the photo finish. Paying probably less than he's going to pay today. But this is a rarity, ladies and gentlemen. I expect a similar happening.
Yeah.
Most of my selections, as we'll get to in a moment, is having a reverse. Now, the same thing happening again wouldn't excite me at all, except he's 8-1.
Right.
I mean, if he was 5-2 again, I would have gone to a different selection, but I'm seeing a race that on paper, I'm going to have some speed up front. I have Klamer's 12-5. I don't know that any of them would survive it. You saw the Drunken Sailor. It would be different players today for the Drunken Sailor. And my guy just grinds it down in about the five path and continues on. And like I said, it's rare for me. I'm expecting the same thing to happen, which typically isn't exciting because the horse gets bet.
Right.
But he'd be a
but
price
he will
in
be a price.
It was a
that.
Year ago, so I understand why.
Yeah. So conversely, we'll go to the nightcap now. I'm going to show a race in a second of a horse winning, too. And this is a good example of how you can pick up different things. Anthony showed a winner there. Now he's going to show a horse here in at Henry in the nightcap, 20-1, number four. Today, number four. Okay? They really didn't do a lot of running on debut.
Oh! See, we now here's a couple, just a couple things.
At least on the running line.
Yes, yes.
So we're going to show the entire race.
And the running line, it looks like we got nothing. We are out here in the 11, second to last, moving up white, red sleeves on the white, moving up rather nicely after a, you know, not good start in here, which to me, we've said this many times before, the first 150 yards are far more important than the final 150 yards. We can't do everything for you, so some things you have to take my word for. The rails are obviously up here. It looked like it was fresh on the inside. My guy is clearly the widest of them all. Now, this is reverse engineering. After you see the results, I happen to notice that Cotton was inside Viking Zim, who will come up to finish second in here, was inside. And my guy is the widest of them all. Now, he's made good position, but at a cost.
Had to work hard to do it.
He had to get that position by using early energy, and now geometry takes over. To maintain that good position, he's running farther than his competitors. Now, this is where I often have said, makes people laugh. It's like, now I'm thinking, run worse, run worse. How can he possibly win from here, all that has taken place? I just don't think that he can. My real subjective thing is I thought the inside part of the turf with the rails up here today was beneficial. My guy is the worst of it, and honestly, I thought he stayed in it to the final 60th of a mile. Now, another thought that's subjective. He changed back to the incorrect lead. Trainers have told me before that that can often be a sign of fatigue. So the last 60th of a mile looks terrible, but for me, I love the first 7.5 furlongs. If inside was better, I got the worst of that. I clearly got the worst of the break because you could see I wasn't a plotter because I got into the race. It wasn't like I just settled back there and said, okay, this is it. Ran farther on the turn, which is objective. Liked my position. And if you were a novice or you jumped into the race at, say, the 3/8 pool, you might be like, oh, this guy looks good. Well, I've seen a lot of races.
Right.
I'm like, it comes at a severe cost for him, in this example, to get where he is. They're not cars. It doesn't matter if your, you know, gas tank's full. His gas tank isn't full. And the fact that, a couple things, that he continued it on, as you said, in the Belmont, I didn't chuck it
right
and finish ninth beating 27.5. I chucked it at the 16th pole. And now he's 20-1.
Well, and he was 30-1 that race. So you're saying he should have chucked it and been beaten 27 lengths.
Yes, he's not supposed to run
right
that well. But you wake up this morning, 30-1, six beaten six, 20-1 in the morning line. Listen, you might do the same exact thing today, but I'm going to find out at 20-1. And there's, I tried to lay out the things that I thought were subjective. You know, part of the course running subjective. But I will say this, and there's no point that the opinion on where the best place to run ever gets to be objective. But one of the things I like to do, and as I said, reverse engineering is, especially turf races for me, especially with the rails involved, is to see where the trifecta horses ran during the race. And I will tell you something, where they are in the stretch is the least important factor for me, because usually only one person can be inside. Yeah. You got to get out to get the run. But you will not be amazed, because you know, a Hall of Fame trainer said this to a future Hall of Fame trainer who said this to me about the three-turn turf races up here that I love. Save ground on two of the three. Do whatever you want on the third. And I'm not saying
Doesn't matter which one it is.
You got to save ground twice. Do whatever. And a lot of these jockeys on the turf save ground for the turn they come out in this. So to me, if people wonder out there, what is Mormino thinking or doing? That's it. I think it was a much better performance than the odds indicate. I draw inside today. I'm, you know, just taking physics. They are indicating that the rail will be 9 feet here, but I'm inside. I get a slightly better trip. And one of my favorite angles, third career start, because I don't like the muscle regression when they run less well in the second one. I have multiple things going my way. Some are subjective, some are objective. I do think third career start is in the objective column for me.
Theoretically, that's the best run you're going to get.
So to me, you know, listen, if I had drawn the 12 post position, I might not have been interested. But that's how 20-to-1 shots. And to me, my opinion is they help me in the trifecta a lot more than they could help me in horizontals based on how many times they win and whether I could match up the other winners to get through.
I am left with one because I had two. My other two scratch. Might not be a bad thing today.
No.
We're going to show Jazzy Lady here in race six today. This is her win at Churchill Downs. And we're going to show her entering the far turn. She's number six. And you see, you know, blocked upper. She wins by a length. Runs a very slow number, 64. Again, she's number six with the red. Where are you going? Where are you going? Nowhere to go. Bottled up. Nowhere to go. As everybody else is getting first run, now she levels off here, gets her head on the outside. And so the margin is a length, okay? But then you watch this replay. She runs a slow figure. But you watch this replay. She's barely being asked. It's just a, I'll call it a moderate hand ride. She's basically geared down at the end. So, yeah, she won by a length. You look at that effort on paper. You say, well, that's not going to cut it on a rising class here at Saratoga. You know, I don't really see this filly making a dent in here. But, again, you've got to look at it subjectively. A, with a clear run, she would have won much more decisively, would have run much faster. Ray Handel gets her back today. And, yeah, she's going to have to work out a trip from the outside. That's not necessarily even really the point when you're talking about this, though. She ran much, much better and stronger than what you see on paper. And that's where, again, you've got to do the work because, yeah, blocked upper, it says. Okay, well, that happens probably six times a race if you're on turf in a deep field. What do they make out of it? What do they do with it? It's not easy to shut yourself off, tip around in mid-stretch while everyone else is getting first run, re-break and kick in. She did it easily. And I think it just...
And she won the race at about a 16th of a mile after she got straight.
Yes.
That's it. It was over. The rest was over, just the procession.
So again, those are three different kind of replays. But again, that's the beauty of it all. It's all in the eye of the beholder. What you're looking for, what you find out that maybe someone else didn't notice or didn't think that could be advantageous today. Those are three of them. We're going to keep doing this every Thursday. And what we're also going to do is we're going to try to pick. We couldn't do it this week, obviously, because this is opening day. But going forward, we're going to come in with a couple from the prior week. You can put them in your mail or, you know, write them down when they reappear. You know, horse is going to run three, four times up
nowadays,
here. Nowadays they are. You can get them next time. So that's what we're going to try to bring you on this Thursday edition of Racing Across
always,
America.
I cannot hammer this home enough. For me, price is everything. It's the sun. It's
the much more forgiving
of the universe. No, I can't have opinions without it being a function of price. And one of the things I've thought about in New York is I just feel that in New York, they strongly bet the favorites. It, just too much. Like they're just. It's amazing how
the betting public needs to have a heavy favorite.
And so, David Aragon might have what I think is the subjective right price. As you know, there are a lot of favorites I would like at certain prices. David's price, but I've learned they're going to be not that price. And we try and talk about it 4 hours before the windows open, that Yeah, I tell people, I tell my sisters all the time, I said, yeah, I like him. It's going to be 3-2.
Right.
I don't like him. And they look at me befuddled. But Price, to me, is everything to begin my journey.
For sure. Another break here on Racing Across America. When we come back, we'll really get into it. Anthony's got 4 trifectas, I think, dialed up.
Yes.
I'm going to show you some ABCs for the late pick 5, another segment where I hope, can be beneficial to add to your handicapping. And you'll see ticket construction too, which I think we probably both agree is every bit as important as picking winners. Stay tuned.
Juvenile fillies turf, 14 of them across the track. Heels sent on their way. And of the dance on the outside, broke a little sideways with Pro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be Stockman but running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got 8 to make up. They come to the top of the lane. Stop Shopping Maria's got a lot left. Stop Shopping Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the 8 ball, they come. Stop Shopping Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, Stop Shopping Maria. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
The chances broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won at just about 2 in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Brian and Anthony with you every Thursday. Double the fun here as we kick off opening day here at Saratoga. Looking out of the 10 here, it's just a beautiful day. Watching some horses come over from the horseshoe side, and we can't wait. But the final segment, I hope it'll be the most fun that we're going to have here, because it's the nuts and bolts of it all. Anthony has long been a trifecta player. I probably play 5 of them a year, maybe. So I'm excited to hear
as
you
befuddled
kind of
as you are with
dope
me, I'm
this
like,
out. Yeah, and I'm going to talk about a pick 5. So you've got 4. I'll just intro and throw it to you. You've got 4 tries to go over. And first of all, just I guess give me a little insight. Give everyone a little insight of what your strategy in all this is, because it's foreign to me.
But my first strategy was, you know, keep data about what you win with, what you lose. The other was, with the trifecta, it involved the idea that I'm seeing a race moderately well. I don't have to do it 5 times, 3 times, 4 times. That this race, I'm on the right trail, and now I have to write a ticket. And I've said this part many times. If the greatest being in the universe is standing outside this tent and says, do you want to be a great handicapper or a great bettor? I want to be a great bettor. I think they're rewarded immensely. So I feel as if with the type of horses that I like, I can't string them together. I'm sort of like the scorpion who stings the frog, but I'm trying to get over that. But with the trifecta, I found when I was kind of right with my on-top pick, that I could go forward, and the mechanism for keeping my sanity which is making a small play in the win spot. If I have that part right and I can't construct the bottom part correctly because maybe I'm shooting for the moon, that no $16 winner goes by where I don't get paid. I might not get the big payday, but I get paid. So the insurance on the trifecta wager was easy, as was smaller plays for exactas. And it really made the game easy for me betting-wise. Then I just had the handicap, which I've tried to do since I was about 16, regularly. And I found that the results proved my thinking and my feelings. And until probably, I don't like to take out rate, but that is what it is. I found success there. I found I could build tickets. And I found that the favorites didn't hurt me as much underneath as I vaguely think that they do in other spots. And we'll get to these tickets and the alls and things like that. I just want to walk through it. It's opening day. The bet I would like to make, Brian, if I had the bankroll to it, if our son can get a scholarship to college and our wife opens up the 529 account, I will, is, and I've charted this, is I should be, with the right bankroll, you should be a super effective player. You have to buy all in the bottom. And the multiplier when a 5-to-1 shot runs fourth is gigantic. I just can't afford it. That's the simple nut and bolts of that.
But what is the all? Basically, the theory is anyone could run third.
Well, here's the thing that I did for the good folks today. I don't do that day in and day out. Scratches and things, a lot of things were involved with this ticket. If you ask me what my classic ticket is, not Breeders' Cup Day, it's a 1/3/6.
Okay, which is similar to what.
Yeah, some of these are going to have 10 or 12.
Right.
And also, when you like the 20-to-1 shot, you have to buy the all in the bottom because I'm going to get the win price. And remember, this is only contingent on winning. If I lose, it doesn't matter. They go in the dumpster. But it's like the 20-to-1 shot wins. I'm getting paid there. To run third, he's about 12-to-1 to run third. You know, almost anybody in a race can run third, and that's a philosophy that I have. And I, you know, and also what I did about the all here, folks, was these tickets were in the range for the dollar part wheels, like $32. And when I did the daily bets for WNYT.com, it was I wanted to give the average person a bet that they probably, if they're an adult, feel comfortable making. I'm not saying to buy this five times, you're in for $160. Four times, you're in for $640 on day one, and you don't know what's going on. But what I'd be most apt to do here is in race 4 and 8, I would pare down the second place. I rarely pare down the third place because I think everybody's live.
Right.
So why would you
anybody
do that?
Anybody can run third here.
And obviously, in certain races, when I feel as if they're wide open, which is race 3 here. I like Skyro. We talked about first time turf, big price in here. Gussie Mack is the one, is a big price. I'm taking St. Louis Joe to go along, as you would guys would say, almost defensively because I'm not rooting for it. And that's what I want. So I'm also going to play a win ticket and exacta, but this is my bet. It comes up the same thing in the 8th race. When you see 4 legs, it's because one of those is the favorite that I think I can still get paid. And it's very affordable, the tickets. You don't have to wait 2.5 hours. I think that's an important thing for a lot of people. And you have mechanisms in place, such as betting any horse that's better than 6-to-1 to win only, to survive until the 15-to-1 shot and the 18-to-1 shot run 1-2.
Right.
And you're home. And it's really, I found it to be, there aren't long losing streaks. You win. If one of these top picks wins today, I probably can only lose 20 to 30% of my bankroll.
Right, right, at the most. Let's take a look at the pick 5 ticket that I put together. It's not necessarily a ticket. It's the grid, and that kicks off in race 6, okay? The late pick 5 in race 6. And this is the ABC ticket, the strategy. And what this does, it gives you more bang for your buck. If you were to take all these horses that we've listed here as my A, Bs, and Cs, the number would be astronomical. And obviously, your C horses are prop. To me, a C horse is like a once-a-week horse. So you can't play a caveman ticket. And a caveman would be like 11, 2, 5, 10, with 8, 1, 2, 3, 7, 6, with 3, with 4 there, with 5 at the bottom. That would be astronomical and unaffordable on a daily basis. The ABC ticket construction allows you to take advantage of your stronger opinions while still playing defensively with your lesser ones. And so you substitute a B for an A. So let's say in race 6, I have 11, 2, 5 as my A's. Well, my backup ticket is going to substitute those for the 10. And you do the same thing on down the line. If I want to use two B's, I take the first leg out, the 11, 2, 5. I take the 3, 7 in race 9 out. So now I have three A's and two B's. So essentially what it does, it allows you to be wrong and still be right. I would not be substituting season with, I would only substitute season with one level of A's. Again, those are the type of horses to me that like win once a week, but you say, yeah, there's a little something here. Maybe if something craziness happens. The other thing in which you and I had a good discussion off the air about is that you need to be honest with yourself in these pick fives and think about what the sequence brings you. Golden Soul today in the quick call, Golden Pal, excuse me, is not going to lose. He's very, very, very unlikely to lose. So it doesn't behoove you to go four deep in that race on the top when essentially that means you like three other horses exactly the same as Golden Pal. And look at this all A ticket. It's 3x4, 12 times 2, 24 times 2, 48. It's a $24 ticket for 50 cents. You're allowed to play that more than one time. And that's the other aspect of the pick five. If you can identify, hey, today, you know what? Looks like a $271 payoff. Well, why are you going to put $200 into it on something on this caveman ticket, 5x4x4x2, when that's not the sequence it looks like? So you just have to be honest with yourself and your handicapping, and you know you're a good handicapper because you're watching this show. You wouldn't do it if you weren't taking this seriously. So that's where you have to identify, hey, this looks like maybe a bigger play today. I want seven horses here in this race. I want four here. Then you substitute in your backups a little bit. Whereas today, I'm not trying to beat Golden Pal. He's 1-9 in that spot. I know you are, not the sequence that presents itself today. And I think that's very, very important with these kind of ticket constructions. And that's what helps you. Hey, if he loses, you could still have a backup. But I don't want to spend $200 getting that backup. I want a fringe backup with my other A's just in case the craziness happens. And I think that's how.
See, to me,
I like to play it.
To me, I contrarian always wins out. I'd be looking to single somebody other than the three and take my chances every 12th day of being live, and that the payout warrants the losing 11 times compared to the 12th that I win.
But that's why today's a great example. To me, that's not that race today.
I'm dialed in.
Right.
Don't you worry. This is my next project because I no longer have a young child and I have more time. I'm aging towards 31 hours in a day and I'm going to do this data.
One more quick break on Racing Across America. We promise we'll get out of here. Opening day coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
is the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region? Tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Opening day, Saratoga 2021. The weather's beautiful. We got through a handicapper
report.
Gates
are opening.
Gates are opening. We got through Racing Across America. Anthony and I, well, you're used to us on the early part of the Thursday schedule. You have to get used to us on the late part,
I never
part
leave
too.
When it's this warm. Right? Now I know what you guys go through. I might be wearing shorts soon.
So that's it. Get up here. I mean, as Anthony mentioned, free to the vaccinated. The gates are open. There is a lot of people here already. We can't wait. Thanks to Nara especially and opening the gates here. It's a great card. We only lost one turf race today, the fourth. Tremendous card, tremendous weekend shaping up. Hope to see you up here. Anthony and I will be back. You'll be back tomorrow and Saturday as well. I will see you next Wednesday. Best of luck. Enjoy the heck out of it. Opening day, Saratoga 2021.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by... Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.